Welcome to Fife's Pulpit. My name is Pastor John, and I'll be speaking to you on a Christmas theme this Sunday as we're rapidly approaching that time of year. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says this: In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and his wife had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you didn't believe my words, which were fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went into his home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "The Lord has done for me in these days what thus he has done this for me, when he has looked upon me to take away my reproach amongst the people." And then in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent to a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, in the house of David, whose virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favour with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he will call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the 6 months with her who is called barren, for nothing shall be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. But those are two accounts of two appearances of angels, but there were others which we'll be referring to later on. But you know, folks, Today, many, many people are living in fear. We're in the middle of a pandemic, which probably will get worse before it gets better. And people are afraid. Our lives have been stopped, and we have to protect ourselves. A new, more contagious strain of the virus is now contaminating more and more people in the United Kingdom. It doesn't seem an end to this. There is a vaccine, but again, with that, there are so many theories abounding as to the terrible side effects, or we're being injected with some kind of microchip to control the masses. So the people are afraid. People are scared today. In the US, the sale of underground bunkers has doubled, and communities are springing up where people are actually living in these bunkers. They're armed to the teeth, really, stocked up for fear of the virus and for the fear of World War II, which they're convinced was going to happen soon. Of course, when they enter into the bunkers, they take their fear with them. We have riots all over the world, and a general uprising and suspicion of any authority at all. Terrorism is rife. And in China in particular, Christian pastors are having to go into hiding, erasing their ID if they can, because they are being persecuted. In Muslim-dominated countries, evangelical churches are being burnt down. Congregations are being systematically slaughtered. Probably there are more Christian martyrs in this century so far than in any other century. In Scotland, sadly, the government is introducing a bill that threatens to outlaw the Bible, threatens to outlaw preaching. Fear. Fear is the watchword. A person is stuck in isolation in a flat with only a TV for company, and then they are bombarded through the television by the biased media. Whoever the media is, it's so biased so much, so often. And the internet is there spreading fear. People, even in their own homes, read about these things and are afraid. They don't know what to make of it. They want to enjoy a midwinter time of festivities with their relatives, just in the bleak midwinter when they need the warmth of love and the open fire and the warmth of relatives. But they're either forbidden or afraid that they will affect their relatives with some invisible unknown disease. I know of someone that is dying of cancer and may not even make Christmas. And sadly, they said that they were afraid of dying. They know about the gospel. But fear has that person in its grips and will not let go. Even those who profess to be Christians are beginning to deny basic Bible truths so as not to be seen as bigots. Judgment, punishment, scriptural truth is now being denied, for they are afraid and know if they believe certain things that are true, then they will have to stand up and be counted. But they will not do that, for the faith of many has now grown cold in this earth. So fear is all around us, but this season has been sentimentalised by Hallmark movies and Santa Claus, so it's all very sweet and very nice, but people are afraid. Are you afraid? Really? Afraid of going out? Afraid of catching some invisible disease that is ravishing our country? Are you afraid? The Advent hymn, although it was written by a Unitarian, has a very encouraging theme, which echoes with the scriptures of a world lost in sin and warring against each other. It reads like this: "It came upon a midnight clear," the glorious song of old, "from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on earth, a goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing." Still through cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er a weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever over its Babel sounds the blessed angels sing. Yet with the woes of sin and strife the world has suffered long, beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong, and man at war with men hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. What we need today, dear ones, is to stop and to hear the message of the angels into this dark world of fear and confusion. And as I looked at the story of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I noticed an amazing thing, that in the four appearances of angels, and Gabriel in three of them, and possibly in the fourth, Gabriel was the messenger of the Messiah. Whenever Gabriel appears, it's to talk about Jesus. And each time, those who received the visitation were told the same. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And they addressed then certain fears that these people had. Now, of course, the plain and obvious and simple reason for this was that seeing an angel suddenly appear in the form of a man from heaven, undoubtedly very beautiful, full of purity, would be enough to scare anyone. So naturally the heavenly messenger had to put them at ease to those he had just appeared. Oh, but you know, the scriptures is bigger than that. And if you look at the message and the circumstances into which the angel Gabriel appeared, then you can see also why the words, "Be not afraid," has more meaning to them and to us. For their fear was not only the angel, but their fear was his message and the situation in which they were in. Remember also that a messenger from God, an angel, will only speak what God says. In short, when an angel speaks, it is as God himself is speaking. He is told what to say. Angels come from heaven, of course, and they bring something of heaven with them. A holy, shining, pure, divine presence. Oh, what glorious creatures are angels, aren't they? Glorious creatures. But their words, "Be not afraid," that is our message for Christmas. And believe you me, that there is no better message, I know, to bring to you at this Christmas time when all is chaos and all is fear. Be not afraid. What about Zechariah then in Luke 1 verses 5 to 14? This is addresses when we are afraid that our hopes and dreams seem impossible. Let's see what happens. This older man, this faithful to God, he's devout yet unfulfilled. All of his and his godly wife Elizabeth's hopes over all these years was someone to carry on his name. They wanted a child. Now they were fading. The hopes were fading as they grew older. Now it seems impossible that his desires, his prayers, his dreams can come true. But Zechariah remained faithful in his duties. And when Gabriel appeared, he was afraid. A fear fell on him. He was offering incense at the altar, an honour and a privilege that suddenly, without warning, Gabriel appeared. But after the word from God said, "Be not afraid," Gabriel went on to explain why. "For your hopes, Zechariah, yours and Elizabeth's dreams of having a child, they're not selfish dreams. They're dreams that you both share together. And they're going to come true. And you will have joy and gladness." You see, God sees the struggles and hears the prayers of his children. Even if those prayers have to do with what we want, God is still working all the time behind the scene. In our lives, often our hopes and dreams are delayed and we despair. But God comes and says, "Do not be afraid." Notice that when God spoke, he had ordered circumstances. Zacharias was chosen by lot, by chance. But as the scriptures say, the lot is in the hand of God. And he ordered events so that just at the right time, when all the hope had gone, Zachariah was in the place of service. Often it is in the place of service, as we do not give up on him, as we're worshipping him and serving him, that God comes to our hopes. We're trying to serve God, he was, and trying to do his duty, but all the time in his heart, there was a pain of unfulfilled dreams, something he wanted. Realistically, but now it was becoming more less realistic. Like Zechariah, many of us, despite our hopes and prayers deferred, keep on serving God faithfully. His heart was heavy, but he continued doing his duty. However, Zacharias found it hard to believe, after all these years of hoping, he'd given up on anything happening. It would need a miracle. Aye, God's in that area of speciality. So Zechariah was struck dumb till John was born and had the embarrassment of having to wave his arms around outside like a game of charades to tell people he'd seen an angel. You know, we often forget the miracle of John's birth. It was a miracle too. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. In fact, when Mary went to see Elizabeth, it was the unformed John, the fetus of John, that had not been born yet, that jumped for joy when Mary came in. An unborn child was the first to recognise the Messiah when he came. What an injustice we do, dear ones, by killing unborn children. But that's another story, and I can get myself into trouble for going there. But this is a fact. But his Zechariah found it hard to believe. So we see an old man whose heart's desire was soon to be fulfilled, and his prayers answered. We all have those little gaps in our lives where we wish this or that had happened. I wish things were different. But the Christmas word is, do not be afraid. Just believe. God's word to him was, do not be afraid. You will have great joy. Be not afraid. Your prayers and your hopes will come true. Your hopes will come true is the message of Christmas. Continue to serve. Do not flag in that area. And it is when we are serving God that all of our hopes and dreams can come true, and we can have those things we've longed for. And I don't mean selfish things in the sense of a new car or a home. You know what I mean, I hope. These were righteous and good things that they wanted to serve God. The next angel to appears in our reading to Mary in verse 26 to 31. And this tells us that when we feel small and insignificant before God, we no need to feel that way, for God loves us. There was a dear, sweet, faithful young Mary, a young virgin child, a young virgin girl, we don't know what age she was, but very young probably, in an insignificant village. Suddenly, here was Gabriel again, standing there, and who said, "Hail Mary, you are highly favoured." That is, you have found favour with God, and you are loved by him, and you're going to have a baby. What? Think for a moment. Could there be anything more surprising, indeed more unwelcomed, to a girl planning her wedding, than you're going to have a baby? The words of Gabriel made her fear. So he had to tell her not to be afraid, because she was highly favoured. It probably didn't feel highly favoured, but she was like Gideon. Isn't that the Old Testament parallel to this? Gideon was the lowest member of the lowest family in the lowest tribe in all of Israel. There was no one lower than Gideon. And the angel came to Gideon and says, "Hail, thou man of mighty valour. God loves you, Gideon. And he's going to use you." And he's saying, as he said to this insignificant, small Mary, a young girl, "You're highly favoured. You're going to have a bairn." But Mary, this is different, by the way. The Holy Spirit is coming upon you, and the power of Almighty God will overwhelm you, and the child will be the Son of God. And you shall call his name Jesus, Joshua, Saviour. The one who saves. Although you are a virgin, God is going to give you a child. Mary, you may feel insignificant, just a village girl. But God loves you and has chosen you to carry the Messiah. You could imagine how she felt. The whole world was falling apart. One minute, an insignificant village girl. Then given this colossal responsibility. "I'm a virgin. How can this be? What about my wedding plans? I booked the venue, the caterer, the musicians." A whole world was falling apart. She could even be stoned. And the angel said to her, insignificant Mary, that had been given this great task to do, "Do not be afraid." God does that. When we feel that all of our plans are in danger, that our world is falling apart and this is so scary, surely it cannot be. How can it be? God says, "Do not be afraid. It will be okay. We'll sort it. Your world won't fall apart." Although at the moment she feels as if it is, suddenly everything is up for grabs. Joseph. Oh dear, dear. Help. What do I tell him? He's a righteous man. But how will he ever believe me when I say I'm pregnant and God is the Father? What will everyone think? I can't go to the synagogue and announce that God has given me a child, but I'm still a virgin. What will they say? I don't think any one of us have had such a dilemma in our lives as this poor girl had. And it came true. She began to feel sick in the mornings and crave for prawns and chocolate, if there was such a thing in those days. And all the plans you have made, Mary, and all the arrangements, do not be afraid. They can go ahead. All your hopes are okay. In fact, God's favour rests upon you like no other woman. You are highly favoured. God chose you to bear whatever he decrees. So do it. And be not afraid. And she says, "Lord, I am your handmaiden. Do what you want with me." When we feel totally insignificant, we do not fear, please, that you are insignificant. For when God calls you, your world will not fall apart in the future. God delights in taking ordinary people and transforming them. And of course they fear. Of course they worried about what's going to happen. I remember myself when I was called as a rough sailor, a boy from the Fens. I'd just managed to grasp the English language, as some of you probably already picked up in my sermons, when I get words backwards way on. But just a regular sailor. And God revealed himself to me with such love and grace and gave me a burden. And gave me a job to do. I was overwhelmed by it. But the angel said to me, "John, do not fear. Do not fear." And I have remembered the strength of the Lord throughout my years. So, do not fear. You are not insignificant. And when God calls you, your world will not fall apart in the future. Do not fear. And then we have Joseph. Matthew 1, verse 18 to the end. I won't read that, but you're probably familiar with the story. This is about when you feel confused and your world has suddenly been turned upside down, even more so than Mary in some respects. Now think about this for a moment. This poor man, how must he have felt? His wife-to-be came to him and in all truthfulness said she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and was giving birth to the Messiah. I mean, he must have thought, was that a flying pig? What's going on here? Oh, come on, what's she been on? I mean, how was he supposed to feel or think? Now, Joseph was a righteous man, but that was a lot for him to handle. Joseph, I am pregnant. He must have thought, who's the father? Mary replied, God is Joseph. The Holy Spirit made me pregnant, and Joseph must have been wondering who on earth he was going to marry. But the poor man had two things to deal with. Who was the father? And then my love has lost the plot and told me God did it. Often we forget what a great man Joseph was. We give a lot of attention to his amazing love for Mary, and it was very touching. But he was a very righteous man. He wanted to protect her from shame. So Joseph may or may not have been convinced, but he certainly was in a quandary. However, this happened. This was a disgrace. And he obviously loved Mary and didn't want her to be stoned. If he exposed her, then she would be stoned. So he wanted to do the decent thing, to cancel the wedding, to put her away quietly, to break it off quietly so that Mary could secretly retreat to her family. But who was the father? What had she done? Has my beloved lost the plot? This is a disgrace, and if it gets out, help. And he went to bed with these things running over and over in his mind. How can this work out? Where is the truth? What shall I do? Look at the state of my life. What is going to happen to me now? I love Mary so much. But I can't see a stone, but what am I going to do? And he wanted to get out of it as quick as he could, and he fell asleep. And an angel appeared to him, probably Gabriel again, and said, Joseph, son of David, Be not afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It really is. It's true. And the words of the angel brought comfort. Do not fret. Do not run away from your situation. All will be well. Go ahead with your plans. Mary has not been unfaithful. I know it looks bad, but it's true what she says. She is sane and she is a wonderful woman, loved by God as you are. Do not be afraid. What a great man Joseph was. He was putting his reputation on the line because of his love of this young girl and his love for God. His good name was at risk. People would talk. Oh, okay, Joseph. You say that the child is God. I've never heard that one before. Poor Joseph. Yet he would risk it all for God and his beloved Mary. Even if he didn't understand it, he would protect his Mary. In the case of the words of the angel from God, he's telling Joseph, believe in the supernatural power of God. It's true. So, Joseph, do not be afraid. Just go ahead. Rest in the Lord. Put your hand in the hand of God. Don't put Mary away. Take a deep breath, support her with the wedding, and trust me. If people do doubt or are suspicious, then you will just bring the child up as your own. Keep going. All will be well. All will be okay. You will not be stoned. You will not be embarrassed or humiliated if you obey God. So in all these things we have read so far, that our hopes and prayers and fears for the future need not trouble us, even when it seems impossible, and we have absolutely no idea how this will work out. The message comes directly from God through the mouth of a pure angel. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. This is God's doing. It has to be, because God's in charge of everything. Everything that's happening in your life is God's doing. Oh yes, it may be tainted with an awful lot of your own sin, but God is able to work through all of that. He brought you to this impossible situation that you're in now. He brought you to this situation where we're surrounded by a virus. We are hemmed in at all sides. Do not be afraid. God has this. The final one is the shepherds. In Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And the message of this is, there is a Saviour. Do not fear. When we come to the shepherds, the appearance of Gabriel and the angels carries with it a slightly different message, but equally to do with their future and to do with your future. These hard-working sheep farmers were out watching the lambs. They were assigned for sacrifice later in Jerusalem. It was probably about the time of the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus was born, we know the date John was born. He was 6 months older than Jesus, so we can work that out as being that it certainly wasn't in the middle of winter. But the night was still like any other night. Maybe Ezra had made a brew of hot chocolate, and young Mark had brought some biscuits that his mum had given him. Maybe they began to tell stories, laughing, keeping warm, watching the stars and watching the sheep, listening for wolves. Maybe as Simon drew his cloak around him and said, "Ah, well, another night, another shekel." Then suddenly, without warning, God broke into their lives. Suddenly, a solitary angel appeared and brought with him glory. You see, whenever angels come, they drag the glory of God with them. It envelopes them and comes with them. They cannot leave it. And that glory of God shone around about them. And they were sore afraid, as it says. You see, it was so sudden. But there was no cars passing or making a noise, no aircraft flying overhead, only a few distant oil lights nearby flickering. It was dark and completely still, save for the bleating of a few sheep. Then the angel appeared, and they were literally terrified. It alone must have scared them. But here was the glory of God in the field, and it shone all around them, brighter than even the midday sun, as they shielded their eyes from this magnificent glory. These men were not afraid of wolves, bears, or even lions. But they were scared of this. Like Isaiah, their eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. Surely they would die. How can they live? What was happening to them? How could they hope to stand before God's glory? Ah, but the angel spoke. And what did he say to those who stood before the glory of God, fearing for their lives, feeling their sinfulness, their wretchedness, their vileness, their unworthiness to be even in the very presence of God? What did the angels say? Oh, listen, dear ones, to these precious words. Fear not. Now listen. For unto you this day is born a Saviour, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord, Kyrios, the Master. The voice of God has spoken. Do not be afraid, dear ones, for you must not fear my glory. For I have for you many provided a Saviour, so that you can stand before me. I have provided a lamb for your sins. Look at all those lambs around. They're doomed for sacrifice in Jerusalem, and I want you, with your fear of God, with your fear of all these things that are happening around about you, to run into the arms of the real Lamb of God, the Saviour. For I have provided for you and many a Saviour. For I have provided a lamb for your sins. So do not be afraid now to go to Bethlehem, my children, and see your Saviour. Do not be afraid anymore. The voice of God had spoken, don't be afraid. For there you will see a baby, tightly bound in strips of swaddling clothes, secure, as if in the womb of his mother, wrapped round by these cloths. But this child is your Saviour. And he will grow up, and then he will die as the Lamb of God on the cross for your sins. Then he will be taken down from the cross and bound again with those clothes in which he came into this earth and was bound around. He will also be bound again in his death with the swaddling grave clothes, from which he will then break free and rise from the dead to save you from the fear and glory of God. This Saviour is Christ the Lord. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Then the angels and the heavenly host burst, and the night sky all praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to men of goodwill. Then the shepherds ran as fast as they could to see their Saviour. Oh, dear ones, if you're not saved, run as fast as you can to your Saviour. His arms are open wide on the cross of Calvary for you. You fear the glory of God, and rightly so, but also understand there is a Saviour who is Jesus, whose arms are open for you. Gird up your loins and run as fast as your spiritual legs can take you, and fall down before the Christ of Calvary. As these shepherds did, they fell down and humbled themselves before the Lamb of God, who was the shepherd of Israel himself. But now they were praising God and glorifying him. What is the message? You need not fear the glory of God, for unto you this day there is a Saviour for you, and all that you see and understand of the glory of God will be yours. Your sins will be dealt with, and your fear taken away and replaced by eternal love. So be not afraid. Zechariah, your hopes and prayers will be answered. Coming soon. Do not be afraid. Mary, you're very special, and God has this. Do not worry. It will be okay. Joseph, just trust. You will not be publicly embarrassed or humiliated in any way. Just trust and do what I say. Shepherds, you will see the glory of God without fear, because unto you this day is born a Saviour. The Christian, you see, is not to fear, for God is their refuge and strength. But sadly, those who have no faith and reject God ought to fear, for God's face is turned away from them. They are cursed and will find the face of God and the glory of God, and will see that without a Saviour. For us, the message of Christmas, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this evil, rotten, sinful, manipulating world that we live in, is fear not. Do not fear that your hopes, prayers and dreams are forgotten, or that it is now impossible for them to happen, for joy is round the corner. Just keep serving and see what happens. Stand by, like Moses said, with the Egyptians following him and the Red Sea in front. Just stand, he says, and see the salvation of God. Do not fear that you are meaningless like Mary. Do not fear what people may say about you or what interpretation they put on events. We've all had that, haven't we? Where people have gossiped about you and put their own interpretations on events when it's far from the truth. But do not fear. God will make sure all is well, like Joseph. Then do not fear death or facing the glory of a perfect God, because unto you this day is born a Saviour. Turn from your sins. Run to him, the perfect Son of God, and give him your life once and for all. Give him your life. So today, what are you afraid of? Whilst men's hearts are failing them for fear at what is coming upon the world, whilst the faith of many has grown cold, whilst we have been stopped living as we want, even stopped worshipping for probably a good reason, not to spread the disease. But many have grown cold, and as we want, we can't live as we want, and we are bombarded by theories and media fears. Every time we turn the telly on, there's a new fear, there's a new criticism. The government are not doing this, they're not doing that, or whatever. They may be, they may not be. We just don't know. Conspiracy theories abound, but the only real conspirator is the devil, who is behind all of this. But his messengers from God, his angels, come to those who trust him and say, fear not. I'm saying that to you today. Fear not, because I have got this, says God. And the waves are high around us, but this is not the end of the church of Christ, you know. For he is in the vessel and calls us to trust and believe, and all will be well. To all my Chinese brothers and sisters who meet in a barn and are hiding, the angel says to you, dear ones, be not afraid. To those of you who live in the fear of a gunman entering into your worship, be strong, for your labours in the Lord are not in vain. To those Christians in the US, climb out of your bunkers. Do not be afraid. Put away your guns and take up your cross. For the time is now right for the gospel. So, world, stop your strife and worry. Listen to the voice of the angel and know that all will work out. God has got this. God is good all of the time. May God bless you. If this has been a help to you, then let me know, because I can pray for you. We can pray for you. But now let the Lord bless you and keep you, and let his face turn toward you and be very gracious towards you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one of you, both now and forevermore. Amen.